Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon, everyone. Today is Sunday, December 6, 2015. Can you believe the year 2015 is almost over? I can't believe it. I have been attending Christmas parties galore here in Hampton Roads, Virginia, and I have several more holiday events on my calendar for this month of December. I was reading Essence magazine last night. It's the January 2016 issue. I was reading through it in my Kindle. In that issue, the January 2016 issue, which I recommend, they say women should reflect on who they are, where they have been, and who they used to be in order to chart a map of where they are going and who they want to be in the future. So they're saying reflect on who you are, where you've been, and where you want to go. Now, who I want to be in the future involves making a list of what brings me happiness and what brings me the joy of being who I am. I know I love peace of mind and that I must avoid things or situations that bring stress for me. But, of course, that's another show. You are listening to Blog Talk Radio. I'm Laura Gall, host of Laura Gall's Financial Fitness Boot Camp. My topic today is higher education versus higher debt. At what cost is higher education worth it? My call-in number today, as always, is 1-714-242-5273. Many college graduates are leaving college owing thousands of dollars in student loans. The colleges and universities are building huge campuses with state-of-the-art classrooms, beautiful dorm facilities, gyms, parking lots, student union halls with game rooms and flat-screen TVs, stadiums, and libraries with computer centers. So that's what the universities, the college and universities are building now. All those facilities are necessary, but at what cost and who is paying for everything? Well, colleges and universities do receive hefty endowments from donors or from the government, but most of it is paid for with tuition charges for attendance. Students in the United States already know they will leave college in debt unless they use very savvy techniques to obtain enough funding to cover the staggering cost of higher education. Like I said, you are listening to Blog Talk Radio. I'm Laura Gall, your host. My topic today is higher education versus higher debt. Is the cost of higher education equal to the value? The material for today's show comes from the October 4th, 2015, Virginian Pilot newspaper. The article, Higher Education and Higher Debt, offers statistics on the percentage of students in local Hampton Roads colleges and universities who have accumulated debt from student loans. The median amount of debt accumulated and the median salaries of students who have graduated and entered the job market is listed in this article. This article also mentions the percentage of students who are not yet paying back their loans and who may have already defaulted on their student loans. At this time, I must mention December is the time to ask colleges and universities for financial aid, and that the federal government's financial aid form, the FALSA, F-A-L-S-A, is usually submitted on time in January for the upcoming semester or year 2016. The financial aid officer for soon-to-be high school graduates, college and university students can assist them with applying for financial aid. So students should go to their local financial aid office or financial aid officer in their school to get assistance with financial aid, and now is definitely the time. So, okay, let's move on with the topic, higher education versus higher debt. Overall, it looks like students in Hampton Roads owe at least $22,000 in student loans upon graduating. Approximately 25% of the students have not yet begun paying back the debts, with students from NSU, Hampton U, and Regent U owing the highest amounts of monies because undoubtedly they received the most financial aid. The graduates from these three schools who are employed earn an average income of $39,300 a year. Now, in my opinion, that figure is definitely above poverty level. And I've heard a lot of students say they like Regent University, and I guess it's because Regent University does provide a lot of financial aid. Now, one school, William and Mary in Williamsburg, has students owing the lowest amount of debt. Williamsburg is not necessarily considered Hampton Roads, but they're included in this article. William and Mary students only owe about 4% of their financial aid in the form of loans or in the form of debt. Okay, but students from William and Mary University in Williamsburg are earning the highest median salaries of $56,400 a year upon graduation. These graduates also have the highest repayment level of 96%. So 96% of the students from William and Mary are paying back their student loans. This information was measured during the 2011-2012 school year. So I ask again, is the debt related to higher education worth it? How badly do American families value getting a higher education degree? According to Michelle Singletary, author and writer of the article Your Money, standing student debt is $1.3 trillion and it's rising. The national average student loan is $30,000. Now, that's for students across the nation. They are leaving college with an average debt of $30,000. Now, I've heard that some students leave with a debt of $100,000. So it depends on the tuition for the school that they attend, as well as room and board and other things that students borrow money for, books. Ms. Singletary got her information from the Gallup Purdue Index, and that's where the Virginia Pilot got their information too. In this poll, it was discovered that only 38% of people who graduated between 2006 and 2015 felt their money's got their money's worth out of the course of higher education. So only 38% actually felt they got their money's worth out of the cost of higher education. Among students from the pricier private schools with higher tuition costs, only 26% felt their education was worth the price tag. Okay, so according to this poll, the Gallup Purdue Index poll, students felt the relationships they built while in higher education environments made the cost worthwhile. Now, this is Michelle Singletary saying that the outcome of this poll states that students felt the relationships they built while in higher education environments made the cost worthwhile. Also, what made the cost worthwhile was having professors or mentors who took an interest in them. They say that this was of the utmost importance, along with paid internships and memberships in organizations that helped them develop roles as leaders or gain supporters upon leaving college. Now, I know for a fact that some students who are involved in sororities and fraternities actually build lifelong relationships, and they can go from state to state and contact members of their sorority or fraternity and get assistance with the things that they need. And, I mean, that's really that's really where it's at. To be able to find people who will know you and like you and help you no matter what state you're in, or even when you're out of the country. So according to Michelle Singletary, it was not just the cost of college, nor was it the debts upon leaving college that made attending college important. This Your Money article states today, high school graduates have no choice but to complete college because it is the entry-level stepping stone into the job market. Now, I agree with that 100%. I agree with that 100%. There are basically only two stepping stones into the job market, and that's either a college degree or the military. And some people don't want to go the military route. And also, I almost forgot, there's one more stepping stone which I'm going to talk about, and that's trade schools. So I want to say there are many students who were not the A or B students in high school, and they do not want to attend college. For them, a trade school might be the answer. 30 years ago, trade schools like secretary school or welding schools were not really very expensive. Say in the case of welding, or a person could actually become an apprentice and probably learn the skill for free. But today, trade school tuition is as high or even higher than college tuition. Why? Well, one trade school officer told me they determine the salary a student can attain upon graduation, and that's what the school uses to help them determine the cost for learning that trade. You're going to make $100,000 when you leave that particular trade school. That's what they charge for the tuition over the 2 years or 4 years that it takes you to learn that particular trade. That's interesting. So aviation, IT or IT, movie making, culinary, CDL driving, those are all skills learned in trade schools. But just like college and university, just like college and university participation, you must try to experience the skill to see if you like it before you sign on the dotted line to enter a trade school. And I will say that some people just get desperate. They see something on TV. They go running to those trade schools, and then the people are like, yeah, this is where you belong. You're going to learn this particular school skill, nursing or whatever. And the people sign on the dotted line, and then they may learn later that they don't like it. So even if you drop out at any time prior to completion, you may owe that particular amount of tuition, and they will hold you to it. So learn as much as you can about a trade and whether you would like it before you go to a trade school and sign on the dotted line. However, a trade school is an option to going to college or entering the military. And I will say that it is not easy to pay back $30,000 in loans if you don't even have a job, or if your annual salary is, say, something like $20,000, because some people are earning $20,000 after they get out of college or after they get out of a trade school, or if they leave school graduation, and then they still owe whatever monies they were given. So if your annual salary is $20,000 and you have other responsibilities, but you have been told loan repayments, but you owe a loan, you might want to check out loan repayment schedules. I've been told that loan repayment schedules are flexible. So if you're short on cash and you still owe a loan, but say you do have a job or other income, check out the loan repayment schedule so that you can actually pay them as opposed to defaulting. If you contact the party that loaned you the student loan, they may adjust your payment to something you can handle without defaulting on the student loan and owing even more when bad interest on a bad loan piles up. Okay, so you don't want that. But let's talk about the positive side. According to this poll, 50% of the respondents also said that the student loan debt was worth it. And why? Perhaps they value getting a higher education degree. You know, that's one of their family values. And perhaps they could not have gotten it without available financial aid and student loans. These students look forward to getting a good job in their fields of education, sociology, business, accounting, nursing, and a host of other fields available in colleges and universities. They now have been around people and personalities other than the people in their families or neighborhoods or high schools, and they can navigate themselves out in the world. These respondents mentioned postponing more debt, such as a mortgage or a car note, until they got their student loan debt out of the way. Now, it's almost impossible to avoid a car note because you need transportation unless you're in a big city and you can use public transportation. And that's a good idea. If you're living in a big city like Boston or New York City or Philadelphia or somewhere that offers public transportation, you can actually postpone getting in debt for a home or getting in debt for a car note. But debt for a home like a mortgage is considered good debt, okay? And in some cases, if you need a car for transportation, getting in debt for a vehicle can be considered good debt. Something that's considered bad debt can be credit cards. And a lot of college students are offered credit cards. And once they can go into a major department store and just hand that card over, whether it's for furnishings or shoes or books, they'll use it. And then they'll end up with debt that they have to pay back. So, like I said, these students look forward to getting a good job in their fields of education, sociology, business, accounting, nursing, and a host of other fields available in colleges and universities. They now have been around people and personalities other than people in their families or neighborhoods, and they know how to navigate themselves in the world. They mention postponing debts like mortgages until they get their student loan debt out of the way. Well, good news, good news, good news. There are student loan forgiveness programs available, and some employers assist oncoming college grad employees with paying back student loans. So there are student loan forgiveness programs, and you can look for an employer that will assist you with paying back your student loans. Some employers pay for employees to go even farther in their educational endeavors beyond the undergrad level. So some people get jobs with employers that actually help them pay for a master's degree. So you can look for that if that appeals to you. Okay, so in closing, I wish to say I wish all students much success in getting through the college of their dream and completing and finishing and graduating from the college or university of their dream. I hope students will get assistance with understanding good debt versus bad debt, because bad debt can bring down a person's FICO score and ruin one's life if it is not handled properly. FICA is F-I-C-A, and that's the same as your credit score. Understanding budgets, interest rates on loans, loan repayment schedules, debt, credit cards, signing contracts, bankruptcy, and other issues that can and will affect someone's financial standing in society is important. If this information is not understood, or if it's ignored, understood and ignored, it can have a lifetime effect on a person's ability to accomplish desired goals. Why? Because today FICO scores are pulled for most minor purchases as well as major purchases like buying a car or a home. A minor purchase might be renting an apartment. They pull your FICO score and find that you are bad when it comes to debt. They know they're not going to get their rent, so they will not rent to you or someone who's bad when it comes to debt. In America, you are your FICO credit score. And that's it, period, point blank. In America, you are your FICA or credit score. And you got to do all you can to protect it. If you have a good credit score, you got to do everything you can to protect it. And even nowadays, that score goes up. It used to end at 800. Now it goes up between 800 and 900. So let me just say, that's all I have for the year 2015. This is Laura Gall. I will come back in 2016 with more financial issues of importance. You are listening to Blog Talk Radio. I'm Laura Gall, and the name of my show is Laura Gall's Financial Fitness Bootcamp. I also host You Talk Too Much. I'll talk to you in 2016. Let me just say, happy holidays.